Welcome to Minority Corner
with Aneke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike. This week on Minority Corner.
Ooh, Happy New Year, my love.
Whee! Happy New Year! We are back.
New year, new show. Hope everybody's ready. Baby New Year, I'm naked.
Uh-oh, better put that diaper on.
It's a
you never know year, where you're going to go with that.
You just don't know. What do we got cooking up in this episode?
Well, first we just do a little chit-chats with each other, talking about my birthday. We also talk about how P.T. Barnum wasn't a magical Hugh Jackman dancing around, but really a creepy charlatan.
Ooh, that's right, Aneke, you are dropping the truth about P.T. Barnum, a.k.a. what the greatest show on earth, that movie with Hugh Jackman, is all about. Aneke dropping the truth bombs.
Yes, and you got something on tap.
Right, we've got an amazing interview with the Shannon Algio, from the co-host of the Soul Feed podcast. He's interviewed tons of people like Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson, started the worldwide phenomenon of 100 Days of Gratitude. It's really great, and we're going to break it down. So get ready to feel empowered through this episode, and you're just going to see how powerful you are.
We got this. I'm excited for this episode. 2018!
Yeah, move over 2017. You are so last year.
Literally.
Oh, Happy New Year!
Happy New Year to you. A Merry Kwanzaa, a Merry Christmas. We are in 2018. It is a new you. It is a new me.
It is just a new everything. Merry, merry, happy, happy.
Joyous.
Joyous. Do you know what I did for New Year's Eve?
What?
I changed up the game. I went to a meditation center and meditated in the new year.
Ooh, look at what?
I know. Who am I?
Legitimately... The whole 30 is really doing something to you.
My life has changed. I have about 8 more days left on this whole 30 where I'm still only eating meat, vegetables, and fruit for 30 days. Yeah. But I have about like 9 days left into it. And when
congratulations. That's fucking awesome.
Thanks. I no longer feel like killing people. It's great.
Good.
And I went to go visit my cousin in D.C., and I converted him and his wife to the Whole 30 too.
Wow.
It's changing lives. I literally should have my own reality TV show where I just go in to people and stay with them for the weekend. Because I got them, we were talking about, like, spiritual stuff. I got them these books for Christmas. And, like, we were just open up the dialogue about hurts and pains. And it was just, like, and changed their lives. Got them working out, doing HIIT training. It was, like, a crazy.
It sounds, a visit from James sounds intense, but also life-changing.
Life-changing. A visit from James. Like, that's the new reality show.
That is the new reality show. And it's written in script. I feel like it needs to be like, a visit from James.
And about me. Oh, and then also I ended up doing, I did do Kwanzaa with my fam bam. And I have to tell you, Kwanzaa is so fucking beautiful. And my family, we did it remotely. And we just did like a conference call, essentially, because we're all in different places. And we all like discussed the different principles. We did, instead of the Unity Cup, we all just sort of took a sip and from our own cup. But like, it was such a bonding experience and to have these dialogues and conversations with my family members that I've never really had before. And we got to really, like, not, like, I don't think a lot of people have those conversations about,
dude,
like...
Dude, your family is, like, so cute. I love that you guys did this. This is, like, the best.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody needs to take a page from James's family because sounds, and also like not letting space be a deterrent, like the fact that you guys did the conference call and he sustained, like that's fucking awesome.
It was amazing. And now we're gonna do monthly Kwanzaa calls where we just kind of do like a monthly sort of check-in. I know, right? Isn't that cool?
I'm impressed with you guys. I love it.
Be changing. 2018, it's like a whole new era.
It is. I think that we all, like, it's, you know what? A lot of people, like, I've seen some posts on Twitter, which is, like, Sarcasm City. Mm-hmm. But people have been like, it's the same place and it's the same thing.
God.
It's just the time is arbitrary. And I'm like, you know what? A piece of me, when I was feeling jaded, is like, it's true. But another piece of me is like, you know what? No. Mm-hmm. Take advantage of a chance to refresh.
Beautiful.
Like, it's nice to just like take a minute, let it wash over you,
yep,
start over again, yep, figure it out. Like, that's why I've always kind of liked having a birthday that's right next to New Year's, because mm-hmm, I feel like every year I go into it with a new birthday. Like,
absolutely.
I'm a new age. I'm a new, even though, like, you know, people always go like, how do you feel the next day? And my joke is always like the same, but yeah, at the same time, it's a way to kind of change my mentality. It's a, mm-hmm, it's a way to like actually, I mean, that's the whole reason that people make resolutions, yeah, is because it's a time to actually be like, let's do this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I'm looking at right now. Like, I am not going to be engaging into the news cycle as much as possible. Like, I kind of got into a news cycle trap yesterday, sure, because, you know, everybody knows that Dum Dum in office, mm-hmm, is tweeting crazy, scary things. But at the, yeah, same time, it's like, that's, for me, I need to just step away from that.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, stay active, stay political, stay, mm-hmm, voting, stay, mm-hmm, vigilant, but I don't need to be tapped into that all the time.
Yeah.
And then also cherishing friendships. Like, I mean, just to talk about how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
Me and you, we didn't just jump into this. We spent a good like 20 minutes just talking to each other, which is so nice. Yeah, you absolutely know? Like,
yeah,
that for me is like, even though it might be things that I've already started to do, it's a way that I could be like reaffirming where I'm like, yes,
yeah,
Kaneke, this is 2018. It's time to do that bitch and fucking live your life.
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying. I do feel like, you know, birthdays and New Year's specifically are an opportunity for us to be able to hit the reset button. It's a clear, like you said, a clear break, hit the reset, yeah, button, have different goals in mind, because I feel like, I mean, my life for myself personally is always trying to do better than the day before, and like the new year and birthdays are the opportunity to sort of set those of like, how can I further be of service and further live my purpose to further bring, you know, my tribe and my species further along through this beautiful life, you know?
Exactly. Amen, yeah, to that.
Well, happy belated birthday to Lady Love over there.
Thank you.
You had a good birthday?
It was good. It, yeah, was chill. It, yeah, was one of those things where I feel like birthday parties are basically advertisements for your friends. So you have a birthday party and all of your friends show up and they give you like a 5-minute advertisement about like why you need to hang out with them.
Ooh.
Because you don't get that much time. You spend 5-10 minutes with, yeah, each person at the party, and it's like a little trailer where it's like, coming soon, your friend James, remember him? You only got to talk to him for 10 minutes. You better put him on the calendar, get dinner.
It's like a friend appetizer, you know, you get a little taste, yes, little taste there, and then your friends get to also taste each other, which, not in a sexy way, ooh, but sometimes it does turn, yeah, into a sexy way.
You never know.
You don't, you know, never know. And then you made that connection happen. Hello, front row, yeah, at the wedding. Front row at the wedding, please. Fuck, make me a best man, best lady.
Exactly. Like, that is, like, the truth right there. Like, I really kind of, that's what I'm taking away from my birthday. Like, one, a lot of people showed up, which is awesome. Thanks all you guys for showing up.
All the snaps. I was there in spirit.
And also, like, now I'm, like, rededicating myself to my friends and my people.
Aww. You are refreshed and recharged.
I told you, it's a year of Chilneke.
I love Chilneke. I mean, I loved old, I don't know, what do we call her? Old Neke? I don't know what she was named.
You know, Old Neke was stressed the fuck out.
She was. I was
concerned.
She
was a mess.
I was concerned about her. She was all right, but she was... she okay? We left her back in 2017.
Chilneke's gonna get stressed at some point, too. But sure, you know what? I got my crystals, I got my tchotchkes,
I got
my cozy sweaters.
Perfect.
I am gonna recharge my crystals in the moon. I don't know. I went to go buy some crystals, and the crystal, mm-hmm, lady must have known that I was a janky crystal owner, because she was like, do you know how to cleanse your crystals? And I was like, not really. And she was like, okay. She was like, every full moon, you take your crystals out, and then you put them under the moon. I was like, ooh, getting all, wow, magical. And then you know what she says after that?
What?
Or you could just wash them in water.
Because that's what I thought, too. I was like, oh, I thought you just read them underwater. I've not been doing my washing my crystals correctly. Come correct with your crystals. I like your magical approach. You know what? Stay on the magic track. Stay on that Disney magic.
Put Why it she out have in to finish it up? She should have just let me right go there. With like putting it under a full moon and like Joshua Tree or whatever and say some incantation. You were like,
Andrew, I must go to the highest mountaintop to get my crystals for the full moon. I must wash them over anew. It is me, Chilneke.
I know. Instead of like, oh, let me just take these to the sink real quick.
And your sink, like not like, you know, running fountain. It's just like,
no,
your sink.
Just tap water. Let me wash my hands with this Dial soap and then splash my crystals.
Mm-mm. No, you better take them over there. I heard you saw The Greatest Show on Earth.
I didn't. No.
Oh, I thought you said you saw it.
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, you had some sort of beef with it. Yeah, I knew you had beef with it. Oh,
I got beef with it.
Go on. Continue. Is it not about Zendaya? Leave Zendaya out of this.
No, Zendaya, make that money. She can do no wrong. But you might also want
to... Look at what you're doing.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So, I have a beef with The Greatest Show on Earth because, one, it's about P.T. Barnum and circuses. First of all, circuses freak me out in general. Mm. But that's my own preference, right? That's my own thing. Mm-hmm. So I have known that P.T. Barnum was like a crazy charlatan weirdo. And I'm just going to really quickly go down some of the things why I don't like why this movie was made and why it could have been a more interesting movie. So they just made it into a colorful musical.
With some hip hop dancing.
Yeah. And like Hugh Jackman and Zendaya and Zac Efron twirling around.
Twirl.
And there's like a lady with a beard. Okay. So P.T. Barnum basically was a weirdo, awful man, but also did maybe one thing good. Ooh. Okay, so basically he got his start. The whole reason that he became famous was in 1835. He purchased
Uh-oh.
A woman, a blind slave
named
Joyce Heath.
Damn.
And trotted her around saying that she was a 161-year-old former nurse of George Washington.
Damn. So this also kind of reminds me of the Venus Hottentot, which we talked about
episodes ago. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Revisit that and just put P.T. Barnum in there. But like, I would even say worse.
Yeah.
So basically he trotted her around. He bragged to other people that he would get her really, really drunk. And then he took out more of her teeth to make her look older.
No.
And so like he would make her like people would line up to look at her and hear her talk about dear little George and like gave her a corncob pipe. Just all of this shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, so she died and he did a public autopsy.
Oh, man.
At the price of 50 cents for admission. And it was revealed that she was most likely no older than 80 years old.
Jeez. Wow. I mean, this is so similar to the Venus Hottentot, which is so, you know, what's interesting is that there's probably several stories of black people and black women being treated like this throughout the circus.
Oh, so many.
And
so many.
This is not, you know what, I haven't seen The Greatest Show on Earth, but my hunch tells me, my investigation skills tells me, this is not the story that Hugh Jackman is telling. Singing and dancing around.
Exactly. That would be, I exploited this old black woman.
Zendaya,
like, no.
You're next. Zendaya, you're next.
Okay, so just basically to run down, because I know I don't want to cut this on for too long, but I want people to understand why it's annoying that they did this.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, he didn't start with a circus. He started with a weird human museum that was like weird shit. And a lot of the weird people were just weird, not weird, different ethnicities different ethnicities that white middle class people didn't know. So like there were Aztec children who he claimed he discovered at an ancient Mexican temple.
Oh,
there's Chang and Ing, the famous Siamese twins. They actually got their piece. They got their money. So amen to them.
Yeah, get your coin.
Yeah, there's the people with disfigurements like Jojo, the dog-faced boy who he made bark at people. There is an African-American boy named William Henry Johnson who suffered from microcephaly, which meant that he had a tiny sloping head. His act involved sitting in a cage dressed in a furry suit, shrieking and rattling the bars and pretending to be the wild man of Africa or man monkey. And also I want to bring up this one book called True Vine by Beth Macy. You guys take a look. It's about albino twin brothers Echo and Eco. They were straight up stolen from their home and they were part of the circus. Mm-mm-mm. And they were two black kids that were albino, so they had like white dreadlocks and really interesting look, and I think that they were kind of lowish IQs, so it made it hard. But basically the story True Vine is about their mother who spent her whole life looking to get them back.
Damn.
So here's the weird part though, is that he actually later tried to become a politician.
Uh-oh.
He, He apologized for having slaves and fought for the rights and equality of black people.
Mm.
Which is good. But at the other side, he wouldn't let people of color into his show or his weirdo freaky museum. So, P.T. Barnum, you're a complicated character. And he was honestly, just trying to get them votes. Preferred. Yeah. Well, you would have preferred at the time that wasn't like.
Oh, it wasn't. It wouldn't have gotten him any votes.
So yeah, just, that's not.
So he's just complicated, like you said. That's just yeah. And that like so keep that in mind if you are giving your money to the greatest show on earth. Keep that in mind that that is the true story of happening behind the curtains when he's not on stage or in the film. That's what he's doing. This fucked up shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So that's like I really want to emphasize that Hollywood to stop whitewashing history and really show us the true stuff. We can handle it. Give us a movie about that. And that would be fascinating.
Very fascinating because it's there's a lot to discuss there, right? There's
multi-layers. Because you can do the people who are taken advantage of, the people who actually made that money.
Yeah, that's a really great story. And it could still have been a musical because musicals can still have strong depth. So musicals aren't always so happy. And Les Miserables is not, peachy keen.
Hugh Jackman was in that too. So
he should have known.
It. He could do it. I don't.
He should have known, listen, there's too much happy singing and dancing. We need to go down to the truth, the tea.
Exactly. So that's why I have a bone to pick with Greatest Show on Earth, because it's falsifying shit, and I don't like that.
Well, that there you put it first, the news review from Aneke about it. I agree with everything that you were saying.
Thank you.
I love it. And you know what? Our neighborhood librarian is laying down the fact.
Research your shit, y'all. Research it.
So I want to get to, we've got a really great interview coming up here, which I'm super excited about. I really was heavily excited to get this one off to kick off our new year.
I'm so excited. You got things lined up for this year, James.
This is going to be a big, big, big year. A lot of guests coming on the pipeline. And this first one, so we have Shannon Algio coming up on the podcast. Shannon Algio is the co-host of Soul Feed Podcast. He's also a life coach. Finds a way to bridge the gap between spirituality and social justice to bring about your personal empowerment, which is really dope.
Yeah.
He's interviewed Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson, some other big folks as well. He also has created the worldwide phenomenon that is going all over social media. It's called the 100 Days of Gratitude. So he's going to talk to us about how he created it, its powerful impact, and how you too can be a magical unicorn by joining this group. And I'm going to do it as well, doing the 100 Days of Gratitude. And you can hear him talk about what it's going to do for you. We also talk about shame, fear, scarcity, and the ego. Wow. They are opposite ends of the spectrum to things like abundance, your purpose in life, and love. And essentially, how to get there. We're also going to talk about overcoming systemic oppression, overcoming negativity, and how, all in all, we are all powerful beyond measure. So, I hope y'all are ready. It is a big,
this
big
interview.
This is
going to be a nice little start your year off with some fucking soul feeling.
Yeah.
Get yourself ready, pumped for the universe type of interview.
That is exactly it. Oh, good. Yay. So let's get on over. Here we go. Shannon Algio, Corner Kids. All right. Hey, Corner Kids. I am so excited. I got a very special guest with us here in the corner today. We've got Shannon Algio, who is from the Soul Feed podcast. Hey, Shannon, how you doing?
I'm good. Hi, James. Thank you for having me. As like someone who's not a minority, I'm like super honored to be included in your podcast. Thank you for having me.
Of course. We're super excited to have you. And because, you know, it's like everything that is black, queer, and ladylike. And just listening to your podcast, Soul Feed podcast. First of all, let me tell you how I even found your podcast. I had burned through all of Oprah Winfrey's Super Soul Sunday podcast episodes. I had burned through all of them. And then Soul Feed was in there, like in the recommendation, you might like this as well. So I don't know if you know this, you're like in the same recommended categories as O.
Oh my God, I love that. I'm honored to be associated somehow through some algorithm with Oprah Winfrey, and I am queer and ladylike, so I will give myself those two. Sometimes ladylike, I guess. Sometimes.
I think we all wish we were as ladylike as possible sometimes, right? But see, that is exactly why I was like, because here's the other thing too, I love listening to empowering podcasts and like motivational podcasts, and a lot of times, and correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of times it's like, it's a lot of straight white people, would you say?
That's what I mean. Yeah, the self-help space can feel very, very heteronormative and white.
And that's like when I came on your podcast, I was like, wait a minute, who's this guy? Is he family? And then you were, and I was like, yes. And it's just something about that allowed me to connect to like what it is that you were saying, like that much more on a deeper level. And so talk us a little bit about your podcast. You have your Soul Warrior. And one thing that I also really like about your podcast is you are able to bridge social justice conversations with healing, which sometimes they can kind of seem like they're at odds when you're like fighting for social justice, but also trying to be enlightened and on a spiritual path at the same time.
Totally. Yes. That's something that has been really interesting to explore just personally and mm-hmm. on the podcast. We've had... we did an episode on unpacking white supremacy for Soul Warriors to, you know, intentionally take a look at what is white supremacy and how does it function for a community of people that might not really understand white supremacy because they haven't really had to, which is kind of where I was coming from, is like, I don't really understand how it's functioning because I haven't needed to. So that was a cool, that was a really meaningful episode and important one. It was one that I was a little resistant to doing at first because I was like, I don't want to have to talk about this. And then I was like, okay, that is my privilege that I don't have to talk about this. So therefore I need to.
So what was that final tipping point for you to go ahead and do it? And then what was the reaction from your listeners? Because I imagine white supremacy is not a conversation you guys have quite often. So what was their reactions like?
Yeah, well, like, you know, my resistance was short-lived because as soon as I felt it, I knew something was off. I'm like, anytime I don't want to talk about something, then that's some area that I'm either shaming myself or something I'm afraid of. There's like fear present. Sure. So, you know, I've got some people in my circle who are doing some really awesome work at the intersection of healing and personal empowerment and justice and social justice. And so, you know, I can like text people and be like, is this an appropriate reaction? What's going on here? And so, you know, it's like with a willingness, you can learn a lot if you have the willing, if you're open and you're willing to like perceive a different side. And so we had two women on the podcast, Carrie Kelly, who's the founder of Citizen Well. She's a white woman and activist. And Michelle Johnson, who does anti-racist work in organizations and companies. And she's also a yoga teacher. So the two of them came on the podcast and I basically just asked questions about how white supremacy functions and how it's, you know, how it functions and many white people might not be aware of it. And they did such a beautiful job at articulating how it functions in a really sort of complex way in a non-binary way. Like when I listened back to the interview and the feedback that I got was like, it wasn't a divisive conversation. It was like, this exists and we can't not look at it because it's fact. It's what's there. It's what is. And so that was really insightful for me to be in a space with two really powerful women who know how to talk about something without, you know, shaming or blaming or making someone else evil. But at the same time, while talking about, you know, holding people accountable. And so the reaction, I mean, I didn't get any like bad reaction.
No one was like, stop talking about this. I just want to meditate.
I mean, at this point, like, I just don't care because like, it's like, no, I don't want to have that conversation. I would rather there be peace. I would rather, you know, like the weekend that the Charlottesville riots were happening, the like white supremacy, like Nazi riots were happening. I was in Venice in California on the beach at a sunset drum circle with like homeless people and like white people and black people and queer people. Like, so I was just like, why do we even have to deal with this shit? Like, Right. In my little bubble over here, everything's like kind of okay. So I did it because it's a conversation that needs to be had, and I need to learn more about it. So it's like, you know, that's one of my favorite things about the podcast is I get to ask people questions that I want to know the answers to.
Sure. And you kind of can, and like, in speaking of like, people that you get to ask questions to, you've had some really amazing guests on your show. You've had, Deepak Chopra and Marianne Williamson on your show, which I was blown away. It's just like Marianne Williamson, who she has like one of my favorite quotes ever. It's that one that was in, did you ever see the movie Aquila and the Bee? That's how I discovered Marianne Williamson. And there's that quote where it's like, our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate, but that we're powerful beyond measure. Who am I to not be talented enough, beautiful enough, and all the other things as well. And the quote absolutely goes on. But Marianne Williamson is so brilliant. How are you getting in touch with these amazing, wonderful people? And what have been some of like the best takeaways you've had from them?
Yeah, well, so Marianne, both Marianne and Deepak, Alex and I met at events, like at speaking events.
And Alex is your co-host for your show.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, Alex Kipp was the co-host of Soulfeed with me. And we met Deepak and Marianne at events that they were speaking at and just asked them afterwards. Like, that's one thing Alex is like really good at.
That's all it takes?
He's very bold. So he's like, we need to ask. And I'm like, no, that's completely inappropriate. And he's like, dude, we got to do it. And I'm like, So Marianne, like, we asked her, she wrote down her email address. We didn't even have a podcast yet. We had the idea of it. We hadn't interviewed anyone. So we interviewed Sean Korn, who's a yoga teacher and become now friend of mine, and Marianne Williamson. And so that was the first interview with Marianne. Like, my heart was racing. I had like all my questions written down. I was like, oh my God, like we only had like 25 or 30 minutes, but then we ended up going on much longer. And, and then the second interview was just me and Marianne, and we talked about her book, her most recent book, The Journey from Suffering to Enlightenment is the tagline. Yeah. Do you know the name of it?
I was just listening to her talk last night, because she does like live feed. She does talks in New York, and she has like a live feed. She was just talking about it last night. I do not remember. Something like love or art or the path of love, or I don't know. Marianne, tweet us.
Return to Love. Or Return to Love is the book
Return
that
to Love.
She did like years and years ago that sort of broke through because Oprah talked about it. And then
once you get on Oprah's list, you are set. We just need Minority Corner and Soul Feed to get on Oprah's radar, and then we're in the inner circle.
Yeah, let's just like merge and move right into like Oprah's house, and then boom.
Done. Yeah, I listened to your most recent interview with Marianne Williamson. It was really great.
Yeah, was that the one about Sister Giant?
Yes. Yeah, the Sister Giant one, yeah.
It was fun talking to her like throughout the election, because we did two interviews right around we did one right before the presidential primary, so Bernie was still in the running, and she was a huge supporter of Bernie. And then we did one after the election, and that was kind of like a what do we do from here kind of conversation.
Sure.
To answer your question, like, what have I taken away from these conversations, just kind of like looking collectively for a moment, it's like it's proven to me, it's like given me the experience of realizing that people who I perceive to be on this like high level are actually like collaborators. And while I have deep and profound respect for like the wisdom that is channeled through some of these incredible teachers, I don't idolize them in the way that I used to. Because really it's like A Course in Miracles says, an idea is stronger when it is shared. And like, that's what it's all about. It's not about this like hierarchical system that we are so used to being a part of in our culture, but like really like we are human and we are spiritual and we are both, and we're all here collaborating to wake up the world.
Sure. Well, and with that too, is that what that does, it eliminates the fear out of things, because sometimes I think in some ways when you're being in such awe of someone, you're kind of putting them up on this like, oh, I could never be like that. Or, you know, sometimes like if being intimidated to, let's say, ask someone to be on your show, right? Like there's fear there of like rejection or not being good enough or something like that. But then that closes oneself off from the possibilities of a connection and to be able to like you said, create, you know, you bring that person on your show and then you're sharing their information with your audience. And I think in so many different levels, how many times do we let fear sort of block us from doing anything, you know?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, it's, I was just talking about this yesterday with a friend and a coaching client of mine. We were talking just about this exact thing. Like I can't imagine if I waited until my ego, my sense of this like small self, waited until my ego thought I was ready to interview Deepak Chopra. It's like, oh no, God. Just yeah. Like I have questions for him. I'm a student. I want to connect. I want to collaborate. I want to share his message. And so much feedback that we got from the episode with Deepak was our listeners saying, oh, I've heard of him through Oprah, but I've never actually read any of his books, or I've never actually listened to him speak before. And then I was like, sure. As much as Deepak helped us by coming on Soulfeed, we also were
helped him
supporting him in reaching yeah. new people as well. So I was just like, it's yeah, hard. Like, you know what? This is like, this is collaboration. And yeah. I am, you know, it's like that quote you said, like our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. It's that we're powerful beyond measure.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like maybe I fear this power in me and that it could actually match the big light that is in some of these incredible teachers.
Yeah. Isn't that something interesting about what the ego can do? Because it can make you feel so small, even though, but then it's this other thing, because your part of your ego is also like, yeah, I can do all these really great things. But then also there's this other part of it that's terrified about what it can do, or that it's not good enough to do those things.
It's very contradictory.
Silly old ego. So with your, how did you come about with your podcast? Like, how did you know that you wanted to do this podcast and the specific message with your podcast?
It's so funny because like when I look back, I'm like, did we even know like what we were doing? Like, I don't think we really did. We were just yeah. kind of like, we wanted to, I mean, we didn't have a very strong intention, that's for sure. Like, we knew that we wanted to take these inspired conversations that were happening in like coaching sessions with clients or with friends, like this idea of a really high vibe, inspired conversation. And then instead yeah. of just having that and it existing between two people and then influencing the two of us, it was like, what if we could record that? And then anyone who wanted to listen and share that vibration with us could. So that was it. It yeah. was like, let's talk about life coaching. Let's do life coaching on the show. And then that evolved into like, well, let's also interview people who we want to learn from. And so really what the podcast became is Alex and I doing interviews together, doing individual interviews like you and I are doing now.
Yeah.
And then also doing like solo episodes where we're like teaching something that is resonating for us in our own lives.
Yeah, totally. I like that format. It's so interesting because like I was like, I think it caught me off guard because I think the first episode I listened to, it was both of you. And then it was just like Alex for one. I was like, whoa. But it's so interesting too, because you guys had a very interesting episode recently where you guys, I really commend you for this episode where you guys came together because it seemed like there was, you both were kind of thinking on possibly on different paths, and you guys kind of had like a heart to heart, or just kind of had it, not had it out on the podcast, but just kind of had a very open and honest discussion about where the podcast was, where you each were in terms of like alienating your audience or not alienating your audience. Yeah, I have to commend you for that episode.
Thank you. Yeah, that episode took months for us to like finally sit down and record. There was a lot of like personal discovery and some conversations that the two of us had to decide like, okay, let's actually share this conversation with our audience. And for anyone who's listening, Alex sort of in the last year has turned to a more specifically Christian path. And so obviously that's like influencing what his consciousness and what he's wanting to talk about and share about. And so then we sort of had this this like conversation around what is the role of Christianity in the podcast? Is this like an appropriate space to be bringing to the Soul Warriors? Who is Jesus? Like, why do people have like this like aversion to Christianity?
Yeah. It was a lot of Jesus talk.
What'd you say?
I said it was a big conversation on Jesus too, which I thought was which was very interesting. And to see and to hear, and I think one thing that I really appreciate that you do, Shannon, is that you're able to sort of recontextualize some of the things to make it more accessible to a wider audience of people who are maybe not so, Christian focused, or and just made it more accessible and less, because it can sometimes be frightening when you say the word Jesus and for some people, because it means different things. But like someone like it lined it up really well, because I was listening to Marianne Williamson's recent talk about Jesus, actually, around Christmas time, and what like it can have a more broader term and symbol than what some folks consider it to be. And I felt like what you were saying was really lining up really well with what she was talking about. It made me feel less terrified or alienated in the episode.
Yeah, it's because I grew up in Catholic school, and I like when I experience Jesus or think about Jesus, I don't have any kind of negative reaction. But like there's certain people who will like talk about him in a certain way that actually makes it me feel like they know him and I don't.
Oh, interesting. Right.
You know, I'm about inclusion and making things relatable, and how can we bring people together? And so, you know, I had a teacher, Sean Korn, actually, who say to me once in an interview, I think, that I was actually after the Orlando shootings, we did a podcast about just trauma and how trauma shows up in our world. And she said, like, she considers herself a very ordinary person. And so if she's struggling with something, or if she's having racist thoughts, or if she wants to like attack, then like someone else is probably having a similar experience with that too, so that she can use her voice to speak to that, and that will actually be helpful to people if she can find a way to contextualize it. So I've like, you know, I've learned so much from Sean, and I try to practice doing that. It's like, if I'm struggling with this, then I'm probably not the only person who's having this kind of like conflict in me.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also interesting too, and not to get, well, I don't care. I can do it. I'll do it if I want. But like, it really comes down to like love, you know? And I think that's the one thing that all of like any sort of religions or any sort of spirituality practices at the very basis. And I feel like that's what people really truly want is love. And I think we just get sort of hung up on the semantics. And I feel like whatever road or pathway that leads you to love and just that unconditional love for everything that is in the universe and for each other, you know, I've been really trying to look at everybody as my brother or sister. It's been this new practice of myself, which has helped, because living in New York, it's like, oh, this fucking person on the subway who just like, you know, and like everyone's got their own shit that they're all going through and experiencing and believe it to be so important. And they're dealing with their own ego, and they're dealing with that conflict of trying to be a good person or not having or feeling, or there's a lot of fear. Like, I feel like there's such a fear reactionary world that we're living in, and everyone is just reacting from one fear thing to the other. And if we kind of got more, you know, Brene Brown talks about this, but just getting more vulnerable about like, oh, I'm feeling a little afraid right now. Like, there's been so many root things lately. I've been talking with different people. I was having a conversation with my mom recently, and we were talking about something that was happening with one of my family members. And I said, but mom, what do you think the root of everything that they're reacting in a way, and they're saying this, but what do you think the root of it is? She's like, oh, they're afraid. You know, like, you can really root things that people, how they react to either fear or love, and wanting to, I'm in such a space of wanting to, you know, as Beyonce said, turn the light on, you know, like, you know, you want to be that force that's bringing out more light, which I feel like is love, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's, we all have that choice, that power of choice, and that awareness is everything, because if someone harmed me, I can't control what has been done, but I can control how I react. Mm-hmm. And that's, mm-hmm. I mean, and that can be a complicated spiritual conversation in and of itself. Like, how, you know, is it appropriate for me to, not is it appropriate, but Is it effective? Is it coming from a place of love? How can I resist or fight back against something that's oppressive, but still mm-hmm. be contributing love to the consciousness of what's happening? Because ultimately, like A Course in Miracles teaches that fear is an illusion and only love is real. So if we buy mm-hmm. into the fear and I let my ego react to someone else's fear, with fear, I create more fear, more separation, and more division. So how can I bring love to the situation to dissolve that fear? And Eckhart Tolle talks about it in the sense of, like, when you're so present and you turn the volume up on your presence, you actually can dissolve insanity in the space by being non-reactive and responding with presence. So it's just like, it's interesting because we're in these kind of like inflammatory times.
Yeah.
We want to contribute to the solution, not be, you know, not add to or be a part of the problem.
And I feel like, you know, I think because of the times can seem so tumultuous right now, like you're saying, and for myself, like I've had, you know, the past year has been, everyone's got shit, but I've had there's a lot of trauma that happened in like my past year, which developed into, there's a lot of death and issues with like the police, and a roommate had passed away, and it resulted in like panic attacks, and the election had happened, and a really bad breakup. And so there was just a lot of like trauma that was happening. And I have found for myself, getting closer to a spiritual practice has been life-saving, I would say. A daily meditation practice, and realizing that it's not just me. Again, the ego wants you to, for myself, believe it can be terrifying. The world can be terrifying if you think it's all on you, right? And that you are responsible for everything. But if you kind of let it go, you know, I was just thinking about this today. It's really magical being a human being. Like, what a great gift. Like, I definitely, every morning I wake up and I'm like, oh, it's like I'm here again, you know? How amazing. And like, I was looking at some birds, like, eat some trash. I'm like, this is amazing. I'm a human. I can, like, you know, I'm going to go watch Star Wars this weekend, and I'm going to go, you know, do my day job or whatnot, or I'm going to do my podcast, or I'm going to go to an audition or something. Like, or I'm going to go talk with my friend, or even talk with my roommate who's maybe annoying me. But like, it's like, we get to do so many things that no other creature on this planet like gets to do. We get to be stressed or overwhelmed or like annoyed because we have such abundance. If you just look at it, it's like, really, as humans, we just have so many great things that we in tandem with the universe have created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's like, that is a loving perception to perceive like what is working, what is good. And that, you know, that's kind of why I started this gratitude group,
the 100 days of gratitude.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that. So 100 days of gratitude, talk to us about that. And where did this come from?
So I also had quite a tumultuous year. I moved across the country, which was like an empowering choice for sure, but also like a death of, you know, 11 years living in New York and moving to an entirely new coast. And I moved out here with my boyfriend. We had been together for about 2 years at the time, and we moved in together and then went through a process of a complete undoing and falling apart of our relationship once we kind of had, quote unquote, settled.
Yeah.
It was like in a new place, going through a breakup, like, you know, losing this person who I just loved so deeply, and, you know, just like really painful year. The election really like blew me like for a loop, or threw me for a loop, but however you say that,
it messed things up for you.
Yeah, it really confused my understanding of what I thought the world was, and like how and like what our country was, as I think it did for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it was August, and I was in this transition between my old place where I was living with my ex and my new apartment, which I didn't know what that was yet. And I've noticed in my own mind, my brain defaulting to scarcity. And even though I was like staying with amazing friends and I felt really supported by my community, I was worried about like, where am I going to live? Am I going to be able to afford it? Like, am I going to get approved on the lease? And is it going to be in the right part of the like town? All these things. And I was focusing on how, you know, I was focusing on the fear Mm-hmm. Yet at the same time, like, I had a bed to sleep in. I had friends who were like, don't even pay rent this month. Just, like, take care of yourself. I had, like, someone who was, like, cooking dinner most nights. Like, just, like, there was a lot that was working, but my brain, because of fear, wanted to focus on what was not. And I was like, I need to get back into a gratitude practice. I used to have a daily gratitude practice. I used to email it out to people. And so, and then I had some coaching clients who were also in a scarcity mindset and like the, all in the same week. And I was like, okay, I'm starting this group. It's going to be 100 days of gratitude. I need to be held accountable. And like, maybe some other people will do it too.
Yeah.
Then I was like, oh, you know what? It should be like, it should be like for grateful unicorns, like 100 days of gratitude, all unicorns welcome. That's what we're going to call it. And that will attract like awesome people. You know, or that, or at least make it fun.
Right. Yeah. That way, because sometimes some spiritual practices can sort of feel like it's a little, I don't know, like so granola or so grainy, you know, like it's like, but there was something that was like, when you said it was all unicorns, I've gone to the, I'm in the Facebook group and it, there's something magical about unicorns, you know, it's magical and fun.
Yeah. I mean, they're mystical, they're magical. And it's funny, I have right here. I mean, if you're listening to this, you can't see this, but James, you can. It's,
I'll describe it.
It's a, this is my card for 2017. I pulled it on New Year's Day at a yoga studio out here in LA. And it's a, I think it's like a Native American, medicine card. And, I could be wrong about that. Actually, it's some kind of it's like animal medicine cards. And I pulled the horse, and the horse is all about like, okay, for this year, you're going to need horsepower. You're going to like keep going. Like things are going to get tough, but like keep going. You're going to need like the bones of a horse. And, so it's funny, like as things started to like lighten up for me in August, September, like moving into my new place, that's like when I really got into unicorn consciousness.
Okay.
Kind of like
what's
a magical
unicorn
horse.
Consciousness.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. I'm into that. I'm into that. Magical horses as unicorns. Yeah.
And but what I found is that like no one there's like somewhere between 1,600 and 1,700 people in the group now. And
yeah, that's a lot of people. Can like, did you ever imagine in like you've created a moment, a momentum, like a phenomenon here? It's a lot of people in a Facebook group.
I know, and it's like there's something like over 1,000 people are engaged, which means they're posting their daily gratitudes or they're at least like commenting and liking on other people's. Some people will just like watch for a while and then kind of decide if they want to get involved or not. But
that's me.
That's you. Yeah. Some people are like, I'm just kind of like checking this thing out. Like, what's this unicorn thing?
Sure. I'm waiting to kick mine off when this episode launches. So in the new year, I want to invite the Corner Kids to come and join part of this magical unicorn. 100 days of like, what a great way to start, you know, the new year by starting off with gratitude. And like, just think like what you've created. That means like there's 1,000 people a day at least who are doing like finding moments to just be grateful. And like, what did you find on your journey of doing that? Did you finish your 100 days?
Yes. So I got to 100 last week, like about a week ago.
Congratulations. Congrats. And so what was that journey or experience like compared to like yourself at day one to day, like you've gone through it, like what was that journey like from start to finish?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's like practicing gratitude, it's a practice. Gratitude is not an attitude. It's a practice. It's like a lot of people think like, oh, like must be nice to be so grateful. And it's like, no, like must be so committed to be so grateful.
Yeah, sure.
And so it's like, you know, I do a daily A Course in Miracles reading when I get up. I do like the daily lesson. Then I meditate.
Me too.
And then I practice. And then I write my gratitude list because I'm retraining my mind to see what is working instead of seeing what is not working. To be thankful for, like, so easy to forget to be thankful for water. It's so easy to be forget to be thankful for, you know, an awesome interview and Skype making this possible. But it's also pretty easy to, like, remember. And there's something about writing it down and then sharing it, knowing that it's being seen and amplified out into like, I mean, we have people in Australia and Denmark and the Netherlands and all over the US, Hawaii, Copenhagen. Like, it's just like there's people practicing gratitude, and it's been kind of healing, because the thing is, practicing gratitude is not about pretending like everything is okay.
You're not being a Pollyanna.
that is not the intention. In the group right. pin post, I wrote something like, unicorns know how to take a seriously shitty situation and turn it into some sparkly compost.
Yes. I love that.
It's like, I'm grateful for this challenge because it taught me this, or I'm grateful that I have this community to share that I had a challenge today with. Like,
sure. Well, and as Oprah says, you know, these things, like nothing is ever happening to, like, it's not happening to you, it's happening for you, that those different things, like, you had to, I mean, what I loved about hearing this story is that you were in such a dark, you had to hit this dark spot to then be able to create something so magical, like, that is now affecting so many people. And I think that a lot of great things have come out of people being at their lowest moments and then getting to the point where they're saying enough. And I think that's one thing too, especially within our community, in the LGBT community, we're women right now with the hashtag Me Too movement, Black Lives Matter, people who get pushed against and they're just like, no more, because I feel like there's a knowing of like that we deserve love and more, you know, and happiness and joy. And then it's like, once we get out of that fear and negativity, and once we get out of there, then we're able to create amazing things. And it's hard because, like you said, that we, you know, it's, I like what you're saying, that with gratitude, like it's you got to work at it, because we're naturally programmed with a negative bias. A negative bias is how we have survived as a species, because it tells us, like, danger, right? Don't eat those berries, they're poisonous, you'll die, all right? You know, or lion, dangerous, right? But our primitive brain is still looking for threats. And so it's seeing threats in all sorts of different places. And so then it develops into like negativity and seeing what's wrong. And it's there as a thing that's trying to protect us. But I think we now have to be in a space now where we're evolving past that and looking on the flip side of things, of how great, where are things going really, really well, and focusing on the light to get you through the tunnel.
Amen. Preach it.
Yeah.
You get me going, Shannon. You get me going.
Brene Brown talks about how one of the ways that we know that we're in a scarcity culture is we are a culture that uses shame. Shame is a belief that, like, I am fundamentally bad and unworthy of love, connection, and belonging. And sure. People who are shame resilient believe and work at believing that they are worthy of love, connection, and belonging. So it's like this scarcity culture that we're a part of tells me, like, I don't have enough Instagram followers, I don't have enough abs, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough whatever, fill in the blank.
Yeah, totally.
It can be very easy to buy into that. I mean, literally when you study best marketing practices, when you study marketing, marketers use scarcity to make you think that there's like a shortage of the product, or there's like a deadline. Right. So it's like we have to transcend, or we have the opportunity to transcend this fear-mindedness. And, you know, in the LGBT community, I wonder like what you think about this, but I feel often, not maybe not often, but I have felt consistently that there is a in the collective consciousness, and probably from the trauma of like HIV and AIDS and oppression and being kicked out of families, there's like a cynicism that and it comes from a deep place of not feeling worthy, because when you think of it, many people were kicked out of their homes or were disowned or continue to be so today.
So
there is this fundamental belief that we need to heal as like gay LGBT people, that we are worthy, that we are enough as we are right now, like not someday, not when we lose X amount of weight or when we get to some point, like we're worthy right now. And that is what gratitude reminds us of.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing too, is that's what's again, why I really love that you, Shannon, are doing this Soul Feed podcast, because it is a bit of healing. I feel like within the LGBT community, I think so many people have also been hurt by religion and a lot of religions have hurt, you know, queer people in the past. And so I think sometimes we can kind of be a little bit lost. We don't, and like in feeling a sense of like loss, and then also, you know, that feeling unworthy and feeling deep down inside that we're not lovable or we're not, you know, we're not cute enough or we're not, you know, muscular enough, or then we start going for all of these sort of external things that will make us like, you know, lovable of like, oh, if I have enough wealth or something like that. Right. And so it's still like, but there's still this sadness that's inside that's not healed, that love, the love must come from within inside. And so there, I feel there is a lot of healing within the LGBT community. I think, like, honestly, actually, with any marginalized community, because for even POCs who are not, we talk about this all the time on the podcast, not represented in media, what does that do? Or a certain, or certain skin tones, or certain, you know, types of Black women, or certain types of Black hair are shown. And so what is that messaging that is subconsciously being ingrained into us? And I don't know, like, I don't think we are enough. Like myself, I am not enough of an, I can't heal myself, right? There has to be something that's larger than myself that's going to help me find the love within inside myself. Does that make sense?
Mm, like that's the limiting belief, you mean?
Well, I think, I guess for myself, that's where I think therapy and some sort of a spiritual practice have helped, because that healing, I don't know, it's, because you realize everything else is just kind of bullshit. Like it's you've just been programmed in a certain way and needing to sort of release that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's so interesting because like I'm constantly like kind of doing this dance between like systemic oppression must change, but like also marginalized communities must recognize and tap into their power as individuals.
Yeah.
It's like,
sure.
And like a lot of times in my world of like the self-help and the social justice kind of intersection space, there are people who like kind of like, you know, say it's victim shaming or victim blaming to tell marginalized people to be empowered. And of course it's all about like the context and conversation of that.
Sure.
But then also it's like, but we can't give all of our power away to something outside of us, because then we lose our internal inherent power. So it's like this dance between creating, I mean, the collective consciousness, which becomes like our government and our systems and these choices that we make as a people, are reflective of our own inner conflict and our inner separation. Yeah. And it's like, it's in energetically, I believe that like no one benefits from separation and from oppression. Yeah. Like no matter, I mean, sure, like money can like protect you or keep you safer from certain immediate oppressions, but like it's still a disease and a toxicity that's like in our collective humanity. And so I'm just constantly wondering like, how do we heal? Like I'm like open to the possibility of like healing that. And I think it involves dismantling of systems and people recognizing power within themselves.
Sure. Cause it's gotta be kind of both, because it's like one in the sense of like, I recognize that there is, you know, systemic oppression. I recognize it, but then it's my ability, but there's something empowering of like, once you name something and you recognize this is the thing, and then you then get to say, I'm not going to participate into that, or I'm not going to agree to that. If we're talking about it from the sense of like the four agreements of like, I'm not going to agree that like, because I'm Black, like I'm not attractive within the gay community. Like, fuck that, I'm beautiful. Right. And then that's where the tools that like, you know, you're able to coach people through or produce with things like affirmations, why they're so important, because it's like, it's one thing for me to say that, but I literally have to like re sort of program my own brain. And so it's both of those things at the same time, because it's like, I feel like I'm empowering myself, but I'm also working to dismantle the things that are oppressing. Eventually, I feel like it'll all just kind of like even out, right? Taking apart this thing that is oppressing and destroying so many people while also empowering myself and making myself and other people around me big as well.
And like the more that you recognize that power, see that power, harness that power, utilize that power, express it, then the like you are a strong, powerful Black leader. and that that in and of itself shifts the consciousness of power, you know, like, and I think that's necessary. I think that's really necessary.
Yeah. Because it's like even things of like you can look at, I remember because I when I first was being a professional actor, I just wanted to do theater. And I was like, you know, it's not about the money and I don't want, you know, I'm just doing it for the craft. And that's cute, but I still gotta pay my bills. And also, like, I've come to this terminology, and again, like, that also is limiting what my own personal worth is. My mom has this acronym. She probably got it from some, I don't think she made it up, but she said that money stands for my own natural energy yield, and that money is just an energy. And I think that socially, like, marginalized communities who often don't have access to other resources oftentimes don't kind of just live in like little small little communities, and they just kind of get by, and they're just, you know, just trying to get by. And so they don't really think in those terms of abundance because they don't, they're not really necessarily around it. And so I've come to terms with like, there's nothing wrong with, because I think about like money. If I have millions of dollars, I think about what I can do with that. You know, we were talking earlier about there's so many, like 40% of the homeless youth population is LGBT. So I want to build housing for them. Like me just living a humble theater existence, just getting by, is not going to help these, you know, poor youth out there. It isn't going to help to build the change that, like, it allows, I feel, access to be able to change other things. That money is, because we live in this it's like, I feel like in some ways, like, accepting that, okay, this is capitalism. This is what we're living here in, but how do I take some of that, work within the system, and then create abundance for other people?
Yeah. Well, and I know nothing about this, but like that's what I sort of like interests me. I'm just like at sort of the beginning of getting curious about this, and I have friends who are more involved in it, but like cryptocurrency and how it's like such a disruptor of like of nations and banks and like. Yeah. Like how the blockchain is, I don't know, like whatever that does.
And apparently, like if we had like invested like 10 years ago, $20 into cryptocurrency, we'd all be millionaires right now. Whoops. Missed the boat on that.
I know, right? It makes you like think, oh, gotta get on the ground floor on some things.
But see, that's the thing is that like money is just made up. Like I think in the Netherlands, they used to, I think tulips were currency at one point. So it's like people just like, and now it's gold, but there's not really any gold left. And some cultures used to be salt was the thing that was really valued. So it's like, it's literally just a made up thing. And I feel like, again, it's one of those things that goes back to like choosing love over fear. And because even if you, let's say you don't believe in the universe or the law of attraction, if you're choosing love over like fear and scarcity, you're at least going to be a lot less stressed out and probably enjoy your life.
Yeah. Even if you're just in a car. It's worth a freaking try. It's worth a try. I mean, if we're going to talk about like
better than what you're doing.
Yeah. No. And it's like, and you know, one of the first exercises in A Course in Miracles is like, this microphone is meaningless. This computer is meaningless. This table is meaningless. Mm-hmm. Like, because we are meaning making machines. We make meaning with money. We've all bought into the value of money. And so just as we've all bought into that, we can buy out. We can shift how we exchange energy. We can choose what's valuable. And that's like, that is the power of choice that we all have. And the more that we, you know, I'm thinking about like this whole net neutrality thing being repealed and now the internet, you might have to pay for higher speeds and smaller businesses and marginalized communities could be affected by that if they can't afford to pay for higher speeds. And like, that's not okay. Like we, like that must be dismantled because I mean, this is how we exchange information now. This is how we connect. This is how we organize. Like that can't be fucked with. And I was listening to your podcast earlier today, so I feel comfortable saying fuck.
Oh yeah, I was like, I'm glad you did. I was like, oh, Shannon's at home. Yay. Oh, we love an F-bomb, a good fuck here and there. Yeah. But you know, I would say I am really inspired. I think that like, I'm always inspired to quote Jurassic Park. Life finds a way. And I feel like us as human beings are attracted to freedom and love, I think is what drives us. And we will always find, cause like newspapers used to be a way to exchange free information and was how we got our information. But then all those got bought up. And then we had the internet. And then the internet was a way to, like, we will find, if they try to shut this down, and I know you're listening, FCC, because I know you love Minority Corner, but, like, we will find a way to continue to share information. I hoping that we're going to be able to resist this enough. But, like, I do have faith that, like, we're fucking resilient. Us human beings are fucking resilient. So we'll find a way.
Yeah. Yes.
So, and as we are coming here towards the end, where would you like to see your community of soul warriors go, or even yourself? Like, where is Shannon going, leading these soul warriors?
That's such a great question. Where am I going?
Always a great question. Where are you going?
Thank you for asking me that. That's a fantastic question. Like, my intention recently and moving into 2018 and, like, all the power that I've harnessed from getting my energy back from, you know, like, just the breakup that I went through and just kind of being with myself again, is my intention is, how can I bring heaven onto earth? Like, how can heaven come onto earth through me? And I had this amazing experience recently where I really, like, saw my body as earth. Like, my body is this, like, physical form that is earth. And heaven is the currency of energy that moves through me. And so, like, I'm here to be a channel for divine wisdom to flow through form and remind people of that possibility within them. And so, like, I will continue to do podcasts. I'm going to be doing more, like, weekly talks and facilitated conversations in Los Angeles in 2018. And I'm also doing this career manifestation mentorship program called Illuminate, which is specifically designed for people who want, you know, I believe that when you're aligned with your purpose, when you're aligned with your divine function, like James's reason for being here on the planet, then, like, you're feeling good about you, and you feel, like, good about your contribution, and you're probably, like, a peaceful person. So this Illuminate program is about helping people bring vision into manifestation, bring heaven onto earth through our power of choice, through taking powerful actions, through accountability, through being seen, through having a team. And bringing a vision into, like, physical form, something that you can see, just like, you know, you, whether that's, like, start a podcast or start a coaching business or become a yoga teacher or get more involved in social justice, like, whatever your vision is, how can you bring that into form? So it's not just a nice thought, idea, or inspiration, but it's actually something that's, like, touching down on planet Earth.
Awesome. And when is this happening? When is this going down?
Yeah, so registration for it opened on December 29th. And anyone can sign up through, if anyone signs up through the 7th, there's an early unicorn price. The 7th of January.
Love a good unicorn discount.
Love a unicorn discount for my corns. And then the you know, the program will basically start on January 22nd. So I think the last day to sign up is somewhere around, like, the 12th. But if someone's listening to this after the 12th and we're arriving towards the 22nd, they could send me an email or reach out, and we can see if we have space for more unicorns to come do some career manifestation.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, get into that. And where can our corner kids find you?
Yes, corner kids. So Instagram, I'm shannon.algeo. It's shannon.algeo. If you're interested in the career manifestation mentorship, you can go to careermanifestation.com, or you can go to my website, shannonalgeo.com. I don't really post on Twitter, but that seems like a cool place.
Twitter is a complicated, you know, I think it's dying thing. Don't worry about it. Focus on Instagram. Twitter's like, I think if you don't already have like a million followers, you've like missed the boat on it. Like, you know, like that ship has sailed.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm at Shannon Algio on Twitter, but Instagram is where I hang out. Oh, and if anyone wants to join in the 100 Days of Gratitude group on Facebook, yes, and start that, you can go to bit.ly/gratefulunicorn or just search on Facebook 100 Days of Gratitude and it will come up.
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that. Yes, Corner Kids, please join because I'm going to be up there. We'll do, what a great way to start the year off with just, you know, some amazing gratitude and just be transformative and in this like unicorn magical community.
We all are powerful beyond measure. See, like kind of a theme of this conversation. And we have an energetic contribution that we make. So if I'm burnt out and I'm fatigued and I'm hangry or grumpy, like that energy is felt, even if I can shut myself up, like then it becomes sort of an inner aggression as opposed to like an outer aggression. So taking care of ourselves, whether that's meditating or sleeping or listening to a podcast that has the kind of vibration that you want to align with, practicing gratitude, like take care of yourself because your energy is this contribution to the solution that we seek. And it starts inside, and we think we see this outside world and everything is, you know, a mess and falling apart. If we get internally organized, then that organization and that inner peace becomes an energetic ripple into planetary peace. And our relationships start to be a little bit more peaceful. I mean, I forget who said this, but it's like, how can I heal the world if I can't even like heal this one relationship? You know, we have to take a look at what's happening on the micro because that's what's getting reflected into the macro. And also like keep going, keep showing up and keep like loving people and getting into action. Come together, like more coming together is required, I think.
I agree. Shannon Algio, thank you so much. And thank you for all the wonderful work you do. You're just so brilliant and passionate. And I'm so grateful that you are existing out in the world and letting your light shine bright. So we'll have to have you come back because you're amazing and wonderful. And thanks for coming to the corner.
Thank you for having me. We'll have to have you on Soul Feed.
Yeah, I like talking about stuff.
Yeah, well, we have a lot to talk about. So
we do. Yeah, we'll do another crossover episode. Super. Thanks, Shannon.
Thank you.
James, you did that. You are turning into a fucking
Oprah Winfrey.
I know.
Say it. Oh, say it. You say her name. Yes.
Guess what?
Are you going to say the same thing that I am thinking?
Probably not.
Go at the same time. 1, 2, 3. Crossover for How to Get Away with Murder and Scandal. You didn't even say yours. You just waited for mine to be wrong.
Because mine's important and I didn't want it to get muddled.
Mine wasn't important.
Yours
is very important.
There's going to be
a crossover between Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder. That is important. Olivia Pope and Annalise Keating together. Okay, what?
Guess who I share my birthday with?
Oprah Winfrey.
A one Gail King. So.
Oh. That is, kind of.
Maybe you are supposed to be Oprah.
Oh, because you are my Gail.
Yeah.
You my Gail. Do you think Oprah says that to Gail? You my Gail.
Probably. Who knows? Those two are wild.
I love them so much.
So that's why. Isn't that exciting? I just found
that
out.
That is way exciting. And isn't also, well, dual excitement, the How to Get Away with Murder and
that's
Scandal.
That's exciting, too. That is really exciting.
I've been
exciting.
Wanting this forever. Those two ladies on the same screen.
I want that showdown so bad.
I can't
wait. And then I want them to
dance
to a Stevie Wonder record at the end.
Oh, are you one of the writers? Because I feel like that's exactly what needs to happen on that show.
I've watched a lot of both of those shows.
Me, too. I can't wait. I want that episode, like, fucking now.
I know, right?
Well, we've got a shout out of the week. It was left over on iTunes.
Okay.
And this goes out to Ryle Tender. Riley Tender.
Cool.
Gave us 5 stars. Thank you for that.
Ooh.
They said this podcast is a friendly, inclusive onslaught of LOL moments. Yes. Important cultural critique. Side Eye Your Heroes is on the deck in my mind. Thank you very much. And so much charm, I can barely stand it. I look forward to listening every week. So thank you so much for writing that.
Thank you.
You too can show us some love on iTunes. You can actually do it right through your app. Your podcast app has a way that you can leave a review right there. So easy.
I love it. Thank you so much. And guess what? We got a tweet of the week.
Tweet of the week. Yay.
Okay, so this is from at Aquaman Dam says, basically this is a thread, but I'm just going to say the part where we're mentioned.
Oh, yeah, mention that part.
Yeah, well, basically, because I don't want to put at Aquaman Dam on fucking blast what they're talking about.
He's
dealing with shit, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the first part is dealing with shit, and then the second part goes, anyways, I started listening to At Minority Corner because I needed just any amount of reasonable discourse, and honestly, it's the most wonderful thing. And makes me feel so sane. Bless y'all.
Oh, we got blessed. That is a beautiful tweet message. I appreciate that.
Isn't that nice?
We got some good discourse going. Yeah, absolutely.
This is good. Well, we're here to help you with whatever bullshit that you got going down. Just listen to
that's
us.
That's what we are doing. Absolutely. We are here for you in this new, shiny, bright new year. Feeling the gratitude, feeling the love. Yes. You can join in on the conversation at Twitter.
Yes, Twitter, we're at Minority Corner, corner with a K. The playground is still up and acting, and people are posting and talking, so join that. That's Minority Corner Playground. That's on Facebook.
Absolutely. And you can check the show notes for all of the ways that you can stay in touch with Shannon and join all of his great things that he has going. Yes. And joining the 100 Days of Gratitude and how you can connect with him as well. And a link to his podcast, which is really dope. And that's it. Here we are. New year.
New us.
Well, thanks for listening to Minority Corner.
Because together, we're the majority.
SF Sketchfest is just around the corner, January 11th to 28th, and there will be plenty of Max Fun shows there to represent. We're bringing Judge John Hodgman on the 11th, Jordan Jesse Go with special guest Andy Richter on the 12th, Smanners on the 14th, We Got This with Mark and Howe also on the 14th, The Greatest Generation and Friendly Fire Podcast Super Show on the 17th, Pop Rocket host Guy Branum's talk show The Game Show on the 19th, and One Bad Mother on the 21st. You can learn more about these shows and get tickets at MaximumFun.org/SFSketchfest18. Get your tickets now.
Hello, Internet. I'm your husband host, Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife host, Teresa McElroy.
And together we present Schmanners.
It's extraordinary etiquette.
For ordinary occasions.
We explain the historical significance of everyday etiquette topics, then answer your questions relating to modern life.
So join us weekly on MaximumFun.org or wherever podcasts are found.
No RSVP required.
Check out Schmanners.
Manners, Schmanners. Get it?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.